Hey, this is part two of That's Not My Job. And I delve a little deeper into that annoying little voice that likes to creep up and say, "What are you doing? That's not your job."
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Previously, I talked about how there are aspects of our jobs as educators that we need to do that nowhere does it say we get paid to do this. if we are to be successful, we should do them. And there's all kinds of aspects of our jobs that fall into these categories. You know, in the last episode, I briefly touched on these three. Number one, connect with kids, parents, and the community. Number two, find your place in the organization. Number three, take time to grow personally and professionally. You know, there's no place to say that's not my job, because if you want to be successful, you know, these have to be addressed. Well, you know, too often I have run into colleagues who will say something like, you know, I was hired to be, and just you fill in the blank, whether it's I was hired to be an assistant principal, I was hired to be a social studies teacher, I was hired to be a PE teacher, whatever. You know, I was hired to be a principal. And what they're really saying is, that's not my job. All right. And that's sad, because, you know, so many of our jobs really overlap, because what we really are is we are, you know, we're professionals and we're expected to address things as they come up that may be kind of outside our normal realm of activities. You know, just because you're not a counselor doesn't mean that you may not take on a counseling role. And believe me, if you're a principal or a teacher, it just, you know, whether it's with kids, colleagues, or parents, you may end up filling in that role as a counselor. There's so many aspects of the world of a profession that go way beyond a list of this is what your job is and nothing more. I mean, that drives me nuts when I hear somebody say they want to be a professional and treated like a professional, but then they start acting like they should have this list of these 10 things and that's all they're responsible for, period, boom. Well, you know, that's not what I see as a professional. I see a professional as having their general job description, and then they're expected to address whatever else comes in there and falls in as they move through doing their daily activities and routines. As a professional, we get paid to make decisions. We get paid to be proactive. We get paid to be a troubleshooter and a problem solver. You know, we get paid to pursue further knowledge and to help us be better at what we do. But it normally doesn't say that in any job description. That's just part of what we're expected. That's what's part about being a professional. That's what, you know, that's, you know, if we want to be a professional, that's what's part of our world. You know, if you have any disagreement with that, I think basically what's happening is you're letting that little voice creep into your brain saying, you know, that takes effort and that's not my job. You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I had a high school job where I worked in a grocery store. And it was funny because, you know, I was hired to be, you know, a bag boy, bring in the carts guy, clean up on aisle 7 guy, that type of thing. I mean, I was part of the staff that our main job was to do lots of those types of things. All right. And it was a pretty cool job, but sometimes on the weekends or at certain lulls in the evening time, you would, and this was a summer job, by the way, you would, find that, they didn't need you to bag any groceries. You'd cleaned up all the spills and all the carts were brought in. And, so you might go, well, what do I do next? Well, thanks to a person who trained me, I knew what to do next, because there were things that needed dealing with. And so just because nobody said you need to go do this, they taught us things that you should check to, be proactive about and go work on when you get into those down times, because there's always something to do. And by the way, that's key right there. There's always something to be done. There's always something to do. And, you know, if you're a parent, you might have this talk at some point with your child who comes home and says, I don't have any homework. Yay. And you go, no. Wait a second. I'll bet there's always something that can be done. Let's check the website. Rats. You know, it's the same thing with any sorts of position, and especially in our jobs as educators. Well, let's go back to my story about working in the grocery store. One of the things that my trainer taught me was, you got to go to two specific aisles in the store. If you find yourself with downtime, there are two places that you always need help. Number one was the soup aisle. Yes, the soup can aisle. If you go down that aisle, you will notice that there are tons of different cans of soup and different types of products that are part of the soup category of products. And one of the things that happens is that people get picky and they choose through the cans and they slide them around and they move them here and they move them there and they push them out of the way. And so it's all messed up. And many grocery stores, they have this thought that, you know, you need to bring the products to the edge and turn them all the same way so that it looks nice and presentable. And so the soup can aisle always needed to be straightened. And that's a big part of what we did, because you would reach back, you'd push the cans around, make sure they're in the right area, bring them all forward and make their labels all face the same way. And that way also you would find out that there were some that you need to go back to the back shelves and go find new product to put it up there because you're down to your last can of tomato soup, say, or cream of mushroom or chicken noodle. But, you know, and that's what you did. And you would go there and you could spend a lot of time on that because, believe me, visitors to a grocery store, for some reason, really have it in for the soup can aisle. Look at it next time you go there. Is it straight, all brought to the edge, or is it all messed up? Well, another area that gets all messed up is where the flour bags are and the sugar bags. Yes, this is another space, because what happens is that a lot of times people will pick these bags up, especially the flour. They'll pick them up, and for some reason they like to hold them and move them around, and I don't know if I want this bag. I'll put this one down. Well, all this handling, a lot of times what happens is that it creates a mess, because even though they're sealed bags, there usually is some sort of flour residue on the outside. By the way, you do know by now that I'm talking about flour as in the ground wheat to make bread and things like that, as opposed to flour like a daisy or a rose. Right. So, you know, the flour bags, there'll be residue all over the place. And in many cases, somebody has dropped one. You would be amazed how many times a day you might actually end up cleaning up this area. But they taught me that these were two places to start with, and then there are other areas that you could go to next where you might need some help. Like, for example, even though you cleaned up the messes and stuff like this, there was always spot mopping that needed to be done, which meant that you'd go find those areas where someone had a shoe on that had a sole that made marks into the floor, and you could get those up, or there'd be some place where someone had dropped their gum, or there'd be, you know, so you did spot mopping. You'd go through and find those areas and clean those areas. But the point here is that there's always something to be done, and you weren't allowed to say, that's not my job. Because nowhere in my job description as a bag boy did it say straighten the soup can aisle. But that became being proactive and helping the store and the organization with the presentation, right? And that's a big deal, because they're the ones paying my bills and I want to make them look good. So, you know, do we have soup can aisles and flour aisles in our schools? Yeah, we do. And as an administrator and as a teacher, we have our versions of those things that always need to be done. But let's talk about a couple of scenarios that might pop up. And these are all real. This name's been changed. The scenario has been changed to protect the, I don't know about the innocent. But anyway, I digress. When you run into an issue, do you deal with it? Or do you pass it on or pass it by? Because if you do, that's not my job. So how about something like this? You know, and that's what happens when somebody does that. When they just pass it by, they look at it and they go, I need to go this way, not that way. Then they're saying, that's not my job. So when you discover something that you didn't see before, do you ignore it and say, that's not my job? When you find downtime, do you seek out something that needs to be addressed, or do you avoid it? Do you do nothing or go do something else? You know, because if you do, then you're saying, that's not my job. In schools, we are expected as professionals. You know, we're expected to be proactive and to address issues and challenges. We're expected to address them as we find them or know they exist, not to put them off. You know, there's this whole thought with some people that out of sight, out of mind. I don't have to deal with it. I know nothing. I see nothing. We convince ourselves that it isn't part of our jobs. And that's unfortunate because there are so many things that are going to come across our plate in schools that whether we're an administrator or classroom teacher, we need to be ready to say, this is my job. I've got to help out. I've worked with many teachers and administrators, and often what separates the mediocre from the great and the ho-hum, you know what I'm talking about, the ho-hum, from the good is that the best do not ignore challenges. They do not say, that is not my job. Instead, they look, you know, they find out more, and if they need to find help, they do. But no matter what, they're helping to address the situation. You know, here's some actual things that happened that I promised you a minute ago. You know, late one afternoon in a school, I'm up in the front office, and when I say late one afternoon, it's about 5 o'clock on a Friday. A staff member found me in the front office and said, I just wanted to let you know that there's a student sitting on the floor crying outside room whatever, and I just want to let you know that. I said to the staff member, I said, do you know what's going on? What's wrong? And she said, well, no, I was just letting you know that she's crying down there. I mean, do you get where I'm going with this? I mean, basically what that staff member wanted to do was just pass it on to somebody else. That's not my job. I don't want to deal with at 5 o'clock on a Friday, a crying teenager in the hallway. So I went down and found the crying teacher and talked with the crying teacher. Excuse me, not crying teacher. So I went down the hallway and I talked with the crying student. There we go. Let's get that correct. But it's sad because, you know, the teacher didn't even bother. The staff member didn't even bother to ask the student what's wrong and if they could help them. Because even if they still brought it to me, that would be very helpful to have known. This is a little example of that's not my job. A student who normally makes great grades fails 2 assessments suddenly. Do you move on? Do you say, oh, he's just being lazy? Or do you reach out to the kid and say, hey, normally you do really well. I was just wondering, is everything all right? What's going on? There's an example of something that could potentially be a not my job syndrome. Do you see what I mean? It can appear in and around what we do as professionals all the time because, you know, it's easy to ignore those signs there when a kid might have something going on in their life. I mean, sure, maybe they just decided to stay out late and do whatever, but maybe they also had a problem happen at home and they haven't been at home for the last couple of days. Hey, you're walking around the campus on a Saturday and because you're there to do some work or you've got something extra you got to get done. And you see crows are climbing in out of this trash can and they're throwing the trash everywhere. By the way, very real story. Do you take a picture of it? Oh, that's funny. Or a little video and a, you know, or take a selfie. Turn around and take a selfie of you with the crows behind you throwing trash out of the trash can and then just move on? Or do you find the top, pick up the trash, and close the can? Because if you do anything other than what I just described, you're saying that's not my job. If you're going through the hallway or you're enter an area of the building and you hear kids yelling at each other, and you notice that as you peek around the corner, there's a little crowd gathering. Do you wonder what they're upset about and then just move on? Or do you go to the problem and intercede? Because if you do anything other than intercede and go to the problem, then you're saying, that's not my job. How about something that deals with management? Like the afternoon bus ramp and parking lot continuously back up, blocking the road, keeping incoming and outgoing traffic from accessing or leaving the school and actually slowing the traffic on the main road. Do you say that's not my job? I don't deal with buses. I don't deal with traffic. Or do you figure out how you can address it? Because something obviously has to be done because you're going to have some pretty angry parents and bus drivers after a while. How about something like this? It appears that many kids in the building are operating at 3 to 4 years behind in their academic vocabulary development. Do you seek help and ideas about how to deal with this as a whole school? Or do you just move on because that's not my job? Do you see where I'm going with this today? Do you see what this whole not my job thing is all about? You know, as a professional, there are just so many parts of our world that could never be listed out in a job description to say this is exactly what your job is all about. Because it's not just about teaching. It's not just about being a building manager or an instructional leader. There are so many things in between those descriptions that you could never in a million years define them. But we're expected to be proactive. We're expected to be professionals. We're expected to be problem solvers and troubleshooters and people who seek answers and solutions. So what do you think? Could you be more proactive? Have you found yourself saying, that's not my job? If so, how do you overcome this? So I want you to think about this just a little bit. And just remember that it's best if we take this voice and push it to the side, the voice that wants to say, hey, hello, that's not your job. When it rears its ugly head, push it aside and see what you can do to help. Thanks for listening.
We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at TeachingLearningLeadingK12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators.